Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Rackliff, and it is Friday, October 20th. And we have a big one this weekend with six teams on bye. A lot to navigate through here, so we're going to dive right in. Let's start with the Raiders and the Chicago Bears. I do have the Raiders 18.7 to 18.2, and boy, oh boy, quarterbacks on both sides. As of right now, I'm recording this on Friday afternoon. I still don't know who's going to start for the Raiders. It could be Aiden O'Connell. It could be Brian Hoyer. It really doesn't change my outlook for Devontae Adams, who I'm going to start no matter what. And honestly, Jacoby Myers, who I'm starting as a wide receiver too, no matter what. Josh Jacobs, rolling. I think he's a great buy low. He's 16th among quarterbacks in fantasy scoring. However, he's third in expected fantasy points, and this is a great matchup for him. On the other side, Tyson Bagent will get the start here with Justin Fields banged up. Stinks if you have Justin Fields. Bagent is viable in Superflex formats. I have him at quarterback 24. And honestly, the matchup's pretty darn good for DJ Moore, so I'm not going to overthink this thing. Now, as far as running back is concerned, Roschon Johnson does not look likely to play here. He hasn't practiced as of Thursday. I don't have a Friday report in front of me yet, but you don't practice. You're in the concussion protocol, second practice of the week. You're almost certainly not playing. So it'll be another week of Deontay Foreman, which is boring. I would only use him as a flex option in this contest. Moving on to the next one, Cleveland and Indianapolis. I have Cleveland 21.9 to 19.0. Another situation where we're not entirely sure about quarterback, though I do have a Friday report for Cleveland, and Deshaun Watson did get to full in practice. He's still listed as questionable, but it seems likely he will play here. And honestly, I'm not using him as a quarterback one. You could possibly slide him in as a fringe quarterback one, but I'm looking at him about quarterback 15 right now. Obviously, it's good for Amari Cooper. I'm going to stay the course with Jerome Ford as an RB2. And, of course, Kareem Hunt, who is a little dinged up, but looks like he's trending towards playing. He's listed as questionable. If he does play, he'll be a flex option. Obviously, if he doesn't play, then Jerome Ford gets a little bit of a bump. On the other side, it's a terrible matchup. Gardner Minshew's only a super flex option. Jonathan Taylor, I expect to see more of him than last week, but even so, only RB16. Zach Moss, more of a flex option. He's playing good football, but I do ultimately think that the pendulum is going to continue to swing Taylor's direction. Moving on to Buffalo and New England. Buffalo, 25.4 to 16.4 in projections. On Buffalo's side, pretty straightforward here. You're using Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. We know what to expect out of Gabe Davis right now. My eyes really are focused on James Cook. So we won't have Damian Harris, so it'll be just Cook and Murray. A timeshare is better than a committee, right? Timeshare is two backs. A committee is more than two backs. But the challenge with Cook is we've seen explosive ability. We've yet to see him reach his ceiling. Is this the time when he finally reaches that ceiling? 14 carries for 71 yards last week, which is good for football. It was not good for fantasy. So when do we finally get it to come all together? Perhaps here, in a game where they really should, in theory, dominate. Of course, the Patriots, over their last three games, have been outscored by 73 points. That is the worst in a three-game span for the franchise since 1972. And a big part of it, Mac Jones. He has no passing scores and seven turnovers over that span. I'm begrudgingly ranking him at 23 among quarterbacks. In Superflex, yeah, but boy, I don't like it very much at all. I do like Ramondre Stevenson, and it isn't, I noted this on the podcast earlier in the week, it isn't because he scored a rushing touchdown. I really don't care about the touchdowns. I know the touchdowns eventually are going to come, so I don't focus on that. I focus on usage. Straightforward, how is he being used? And the number one thing in his usage that shows a trend in the right direction, he did have five catches last week. That's the most he had had since week one. He'd been relatively lightly used in that area since week one. So it's a trend in the right direction, and I do like that. Washington and the Giants. I have Washington 20.0 to 19.1. a game that is fairly straightforward on the Washington side. Like, I actually really like Sam Howell here. He enters the week ninth among quarterbacks in passing yards, which is like, I would not have expected that. But 1,500 passing yards, he's 13th among quarterbacks in fantasy scoring. He's the best streamer of the week, QB10. Brian Robinson cementing himself as the RB2 in that, or the RB1 in that backfield, and RB2 for fantasy purposes, I correct myself there. RB20 overall for the week. Great spot for Terry McLaurin. I talked about that yesterday. And I think you could flex out Curtis Samuel this week as well. On the other side, Daniel Jones. So here's what we know about him. I do have a Friday report from the Giants. Daniel Jones got limited all week, so he's very questionable here. I could see a scenario where he doesn't play. If he doesn't play, then Tyrod Taylor is essentially a back-end quarterback two for Superflex. If he does play, he's kind of a back-end quarterback two for Superflex. I'm using Waller. I'm using Barkley. That's about it. Barkley looked pretty good last week. He actually mentioned something about not wanting to be traded before the deadline. I didn't know he was on the block, but I guess anybody and everybody could be on the block depending on what the team's plans are for the future. But I doubt that happens. Of course, the trade deadline now under 2 weeks away. We're rapidly approaching it. Atlanta and Tampa Bay. This one's a fun one, 19.8 to 19.0. On paper, not a high-scoring game, but an interesting rivalry between two teams who I guess are exceeding expectations. I mean, for me, are exceeding expectations so far this season. Let's talk on the Atlanta side. I don't know where they've went. I am concerned. But all of the Kyle Pitts haters have disappeared. I have no idea where they went. So Kyle Pitts, obviously the last 2 weeks has been pretty good. Not quite back into borderline elite territory where we had him entering the season, but he is tight end 11, and they can sustain two fantasy tight ends. So Jonnu Smith is one of the better streamers this week. He has 5 receptions per game over his last 5 games. Bijan Robinson. He leads all running backs in yards per touch at 5.6. He is a great buy low candidate. If I am buying low on him, though, I'm doing this. I'm going to give an RB2 to get him if I can do that. Now, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if my league is going to let me do that, but that would be my objective. If I have to start including players who are wide receiver ones in the deal and then I get a lesser wide receiver one back, I do not want to do the deal. That does not make me better. That is not, this is not a buy low. So, thoughts there. The Falcons, obviously, pretty good defensively. So, it's straightforward on the other side. Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, I'm pretty much using them every week, likely, unless I'm absolutely loaded at wide receiver for Godwin's sake. But Evans is a top 12 play. Rashad White continues to be a boring RB2. Like, yeah, I'd love to give up Rashad White for Bijan Robinson. It's not happening. But somebody in his range, RB17, might work. I don't know. Who's trending up right now? That would be the question. Like, hey, if I'm sitting with like Jahmyr Gibbs, and we'll get to him in a minute, and he blows up, I'd be offering Jahmyr Gibbs for Bijan Robinson. But anyway, Baker Mayfield on the Superflex radar this week. Detroit and Baltimore. Baltimore 23.1 to 21.3. On the Detroit side, let's talk about Jahmyr Gibbs. Okay, so he is expected to see a big workload here because obviously David Montgomery, we didn't expect him to play all week. I don't have a Friday report, but it seems likely it's going to be Gibbs, and actually Craig Reynolds will likely be active, but it's going to be a lot of Gibbs. I actually have him just outside the RB1s at 13th among running backs for the week. I've already talked a bunch about selling high on Jared Goff, so I'm not going to bang that drum anymore. On the other side, straightforward, we're using Lamar, Zay, Mark Andrews, and then ideally fading everybody else. And yes, that includes the backfield. Moving on to Pittsburgh and the Rams. I have the Rams 22.4 to 20.7. This season has not started particularly well for Najee Harris. Understatement of the year. He actually has just one 100 rushing yard game in his past 22. He's also in a full-blown timeshare in that backfield with Jaylen Warren. It is tough to trust him as anything more than a back-end RB2. Same goes for Warren, by the way. Deontay Johnson should be back in this one. I have not seen if he's officially activated off of injured reserve. No, I don't have a Friday report for them yet. So, if he plays, what do we do? Well, if he plays, he has a nice high floor but a lower ceiling than George Pickens. I'd actually slightly prefer Pickens, but a lot of it comes back to the play of Kenny Pickett and the boring offense of Matt Canada. Can't really trust Deontay Johnson as anything more than a flex option. By the way, Pat Freiermuth suffered a setback and will not play this week. On the other side, we know what we're doing with the passing game. We're going to use Stafford and Kupp and Nacua. But what about the run game? Well, here's what we know. We know that Kyren Williams is going to miss time and Ronnie Rivers is as well. We know that on paper, Zach Evans is the lead back. But we can't just plug Zach Evans and our expectations in for him to where we were with Kyren Williams. It just does not make sense because, hey, they could use Royce Freeman. And we're even hearing that Daryl Henderson is going to be active for this game. So a bit of a mess for sure. I am only using Zach Evans as a flex option, not using anybody else there. Tempering expectations. Yes, we went out and picked him up, but we don't just pick up guys for this week in fantasy football. We pick them up potentially for a longer span. The idea here with Evans, if it works, you picked him up for a three-week rental. If it doesn't work, we toss him back, do it again with somebody else. Moving on to Arizona-Seattle. Seattle 25.7 to 18.5. Kyler Murray designated to return, but not expected to be activated off of injured reserve. So we're going to wait and see on him. Definitely love stashing him in Superflex. It's okay to stash him in one quarterback, but if I had like Justin Herbert, I'm not. You know, maybe if I have like Geno Smith, but also, by the way, I would be stashing him if I had Geno Smith, possibly. But I don't want to have three quarterbacks on a roster. So if I have Geno Smith and somebody else, then no. If I have Joe Burrow, well, obviously, I need a bye week fill-in. Kyler's not going to help me there. So you got to use your bench spots appropriately. And in one quarterback leagues, if I have six or more bench spots, I never want to have more than two quarterbacks. And oftentimes, I don't want to have two quarterbacks if I can get away with it. But sometimes I can't. So I get the play here. But just remember, part of Kyler's appeal as a fantasy asset is his ability to run. And he's not going to quite have that 100% when he comes back. Stay away from the backfield. Yes, Ingram led the backfield in touches, Keontae Ingram last week, but Amari DiMercato led the backfield in snaps. It's a mess. On the other side, well, a little bit of a mess for Zach Charbonnet. He may not play here. If he doesn't play, I mean, I can't move Kenneth Walker any higher. I already have him at one, but he'll see even more work. I'm going to be heavily exposed to him in DFS. But loving Geno, loving Kenneth Walker, loving DK, loving Tyler Lockett in this game. I picked up Jaxon Smith-Njigba in a few leagues, but I'm not going to use him this week. That's more of a little bit of a stash. See what we have there. Green Bay-Denver, close game on paper, 22.4 for Green Bay, 22.2 for Denver. Great matchups abound in this one. I'm using Jordan Love. It looks like Aaron Jones should be back for this one, so he'll be a back-end RB1. A.J. Dillon is usable here as a flex. Luke Musgrave's in a great spot, like both the receivers, Watson and Dobbs. On the other side, Russ is a streamer. The backfield is a little bit of a mess because Jaleel McLaughlin actually led in snaps last week. Javonte Williams led in touches, but it looks like we're in timeshare territory between those two, not to mention Samaje Perine still on the roster. So here's what I'm doing. I'm not using Perine. I am going to use Williams as a back-end RB2, McLaughlin as a front-end flex. They're very close. RB22 for Williams, RB27 for McLaughlin. So very, very close there. And as far as the receivers, I talked about him yesterday. That's the only spot where I'd say it's not a good matchup in this game. Chargers, Chiefs 27.2 to 22.5. The Chiefs have been very good on the defensive side of the ball. How about this? They're the only team to allow 21 or fewer points in every game this season. Like, if you would have said, who's the only team to do that? That would not have been my guess, but it's true. Look it up. Does it change anything for me? No. Using Justin Herbert with confidence, Keenan Allen with confidence, Joshua Palmer as a wide receiver 3 with confidence. And, of course, Austin Eckler. In his last four games, because obviously he sees the Chiefs twice a year, he averages against the Chiefs 19.3 touches, 95.8 scrimmage yards, and 0.8 total touchdowns per game. That's pretty good. On the other side, Not the best start for Patrick Mahomes, low air yards, low passing yards, but I'm not overly concerned because I think we're turning a little bit of a corner thanks to Rashi Rice. So we're staying of course with Mahomes. Rashi Rice moves up to fringe wide receiver 3 territory. I talked about his matchup yesterday. I also love this spot for Pacheco. Isaiah Pacheco, 15 plus carries in each of his last 4 games. He scored in 3 of those 4 games as well. Should be a good spot for him. Perhaps the game of the week, Miami-Philadelphia. I really don't have much analysis here. Everybody? Yeah, all right, here's who I would be using. Tua, Tyreek, Mostert, Waddle, Hurts, Swift, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and Dallas Goedert. Like, all of them. Devontae Smith's going to play, too, by the way. He's told reporters as much. The only one with a moderately bad matchup is Mostert, but I'm not worried because Mike McDaniel schemes up. So he's still an RB1. I don't have anything for you there. It's just straightforward. That's going to be a lot of fun. All right, let's round it out with San Francisco, Minnesota. Oh, and by the way, I do have Philly winning 25.7 to 25.3 in projections. So over 50 points, that's a 51 combined score there. That's going to be a lot of fun. San Francisco, 25.2 to 19.6 for Minnesota. And Christian McCaffrey, I don't know. I don't know. I don't even have a Friday report for them. I have a Thursday he didn't practice. What does that mean? Probably not much. Friday and Saturday are going to be much more telling. If he gets delimited by Saturday, he certainly has a shot at suiting up. We will know that, though. And here's the thing about fantasy. You don't need to make a decision about Christian McCaffrey here if you're listening on Friday. Heck, if you're listening in the future right now on Saturday, you don't need to make a decision on Christian McCaffrey. Even if you're listening on Sunday morning, you don't need to make a decision. You really don't need to make a decision until that last hour before the games all kick off on Sunday on how you're going to navigate these waters. I assure you that I'm going to have my ear to the ground. I'm going to do my due diligence, and my rankings over at FTNFantasy.com are going to reflect the most current information possible so you can make the best possible decisions. Promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Otherwise, be careful with Brock Purdy. He's a great sell high option. He is the number 12 quarterback in fantasy scoring. He's 22nd in expected fantasy points. So it's very similar to what I've been saying about Jared Goff. We'll see with Debo. I think he has a better chance of playing than Christian McCaffrey. But if McCaffrey doesn't go, then I'll have probably both Jordan Mason and Elijah Mitchell in like front end RB2 or front end flex back in RB2 territory. On the other side, tough matchup. But I mean, I'm still using Kirk Cousins as a back end QB1. He's at 11 in rankings, using Addison and Hockenson, actually KJ Osborne as well as a wide receiver 3, and Alexander Mattison, 22 touches last week, just 2 for Cam Akers, remains in play as an RB2. Bad matchups, though, for Minnesota. All right, that's going to do it for me today. Remember, follow along with me on Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe and Instagram at Jeff Ratcliffe, FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. And I'll catch you on the flip side of the weekend for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.